This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The shareholders meeting as a campaign whistle stop. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. How big a voice should workers get in the management of the big corporations they work for? Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders plans to weigh in on this issue from the lion's den today. He's set to speak at the annual Walmart shareholders meeting in Arkansas today. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more on shareholder meeting as campaign venue.
We're used to seeing candidates at town halls and state fairs, but the shareholder meetings of a publicly traded company?
I think this is very unusual.
That's Kent Greenfield, professor at Boston College Law School, who researches corporate governance.
It's rare because usually people think that the operation of businesses occurs in this black box that really is immune to political or social pressure. And I think that's changing.
Because, says Greenfield, there's a lot of interest in corporate governance, wages, benefits, stock buybacks, factory moves. But candidates may not want to speak at structured, time-controlled events like a shareholder meeting, says political advisor Alex Vogel. And corporations might not want the attention and scrutiny.
I don't think there's anything positive for any company to have presidential candidates come and address their shareholder meetings.
And those meetings, they aren't as easy to get into as, say, a parade or a state fair. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
As a developing country, India enjoyed a special trade relationship with the U.S., low or no tariffs on many of its products until today. The Trump administration says India hasn't given the U.S., quote, equitable and reasonable access to its market and is ending preferential market access as of now. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this from London. Hi, Anu.
Hi, David.
This is about tariffs, but also about whether India is defined as a developing economy. What's really going on here?
Well, I think India would say, look, we are a developing economy, and so we need to be a little protectionist. But you're quite right that from President Trump's point of view, this is not a level playing field. So you've had Indian products like imitation jewelry, leather products, building materials, food coming into the U.S. tariff free. But then American goods like motorcycles and whiskey have faced high tariffs. And you've also got issues like American medical devices like heart stents and knee implants having price caps in India. So from President Trump's point of view, this growing market needs to increase access for American manufacturers.
So moving away from the tariff-free relationship with India, you think that'll put enough pressure on Indian Prime Minister Modi to make some changes to deal and maybe meet some of the U.S.'s demands?
It's unlikely to have much of an impact. If you just look at the numbers, there's not much economic incentive for him to do so. If you look at the net tariff advantage that India's had from being under this tariff-free status, it only adds up to about an estimated $260 million, according to experts in Delhi. So the impact is pretty negligible. Now, it's early days for President Modi after the election results in late May, so it's hard to say. But so far, he has not retaliated against the U.S. with tariffs, and he also hasn't caved in.
All right. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand in London. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Wednesday. What's the status of those new tariffs on goods from Mexico to the U.S.? Mexican officials are meeting with Vice President Mike Pence this afternoon about an impending 5% tariff, rising to 25% in the fall if Mexico doesn't do more to stop migrants trying to get into the U.S. Let's do the numbers. After the Federal Reserve chair left the impression yesterday that lower interest rates are possible later this year, the Dow closed up 2.1%, 512 points. This morning, Dow and S&P futures are up 0.6% each, the NASDAQ future up 0.8%. If you're a member of your local public radio station, we thank you because your support helps those stations keep programs like Marketplace on the air. But for Marketplace to really grow, we need additional investment from those who care most about what we do, superfans like you. Your donation helps us create more content that matters to you and your community, and to reach more people where they are, whether it's radio, podcasts, or online. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org. And thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
From time to time, we survey economic anxiety in America. The higher the number, the more anxious people are. Today, how debt plays into this. People who are currently paying student loans have a much higher score on the Marketplace Edison Research Economic Anxiety Index than those who don't have student loans, about two-thirds higher, according to our new data. There's an established link between debt and mental health. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
Like 87% of American families, Josh Baker and his wife have debt. Theirs is mostly student loan debt.
We actually have several conversations a month about the frustrations that come along with it, psychologically and financially, to be honest with you.
Anytime there's a healthcare deductible or some unexpected expense, there's a conversation about how to deal with it. Baker, at this point, feels like his college education just was not worth it.
It is depressing, and it is something that's constantly in the back of your mind, and it can make you feel trapped financially as well as an individual.
He is not the only one. Katrina Walsman researches public health at the University of South Carolina and looked at former students years after they'd taken out loans for their education.
We found that those students who took on more student loans reported poor mental health.
It's not just student loan debt that has a negative connection to mental health. It's indebtedness generally.
My research looked at depression, anger, anxiety, and showed a pretty strong correlation.
Patricia Drentia is a professor at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Some research suggests that stigma around debt can make people feel worse, and some types of debt are more stigmatized than others. Student loan debt can be seen as a rite of passage into the middle class. Something like credit card debt, though, not as much.
Credit card debt or unsecured debt that isn't associated with major things in life that you need is even more likely to be associated with negative mental health.
Now, the things that cause depression and anxiety, like serious illness, can also cause debt. The two are correlated. The question is, does one sometimes cause the other? Many researchers, like Patricia Drentia, say yes.
So I do think that sometimes it can be causal and that some of it is through the worries.
The fear of never paying it off, the stigma of having it in the first place, consider it all a form of interest payment that we might not know we're signing up for. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
We have some resources for people dealing with the debilitating effects of debt. Consult the newly redesigned marketplace.org for those. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.